This podcast is brought to you by Harvest Family Church in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, please visit harvestfamilychurch.ca. We hope you are encouraged by today's message from our lead pastor, Brent Coulter.
How's everybody doing today? Anybody having a barbecue this afternoon, tomorrow? Come on, people. Spark up the grill. Let's go. Well, we've had a great couple of weeks, the last 3 weeks, with triple header Sundays. I called my mom on Monday, and I said, "Mom, I need you to preach again this Sunday." And she's like, "Forget it." She was exhausted, but we'll have her back again ministering to you. Yes, let's get my mom. Just for you, Mom, that hand right there. Just want to remind you about a couple other things that are going on around the church. We've been busy with Triple Header Sundays, but I wanted to remind you, in the new year we started a series called God Says, and we had a New Testament Bible reading plan. I hope that you are still reading along with us the New Testament. If you've forgotten, pick it up again and start again this week. We are in the book of Romans right now, and so it's a great time to pick it up again if you've forgotten. We're reading through the church. Reading through the New Testament as a church. Also, Connect groups have started up, and they're going really well. And we're hearing some great things about people making friends and all the different things going on there. So that's awesome for us as a church family. And also, we completed our first Alpha course. And we had And we had people go through that course about discovering Christianity. And the last thing, we actually had someone very special on the last day. Someone who came as a dating couple, got engaged at the end of Alpha, so that was kind of fun. If you follow me on Instagram, you can see that picture. All right. So, during Triple Header Sundays, we had a great time, and part of the reason that we did that, it was a few different reasons, and one of the things, just to see what we're doing as a church, reaching different generations. Obviously, we couldn't separate out every generation and every demographic and every season of life within our church, but we kind of had those three generations: young, medium, and older. So whichever category you fit in there. And just to see what we're doing as a church, but also as a church family, what's great to recognize and understand is that we have different people who are at different places on their journey of faith. And that's exciting. And that's a great thing about a church family, that a church family consists of more than just me, consists of more than people than just in my demographic, that it's a whole family, people young and old, and people just starting out on faith, and people way down the road on their faith in God. And what's great about a church family is we get to appreciate that and never look down our nose at someone where they are or where they aren't. That we as a church family can appreciate those things, that appreciate those different ages and all the different things going on in our church. And in one sense, we have a commonality, obviously, because we all have been young and we all have been teenagers and we all haven't been mothers. But there is a commonality that we have with following Jesus, that we are on this journey of faith. And regardless of where we are at our age and stage, we all have somewhere to go. I know that my dad, who turns 75 actually on Saturday, is in a constant state of learning. And since he's turned 70, he's actually earned a doctorate in theology. And one of the things that I really... Yes, let's give him a hand for that. Both my parents are getting hands today. And that's pretty cool. I love that about my dad, that he has never thought of himself as arriving. He never thought, okay, I already know all that there is to know, that he's always in this constant state of learning. And I think this is such a great example for all of us in our faith journey, that we are always growing and that we are always moving forward. We always have somewhere to go. I know that sometimes when we have a certain amount of knowledge or we have a certain understanding about our faith, that it just depends on our disposition about how we think about that. When you learn something or when you're good at something or you figured a measure of something out, you can either appreciate the fact that there's more to learn or you can get a little bit arrogant. Now, my youngest daughter is 9, and she's in French immersion. And I took French for 4 years, so sometimes I can help her with her French homework, but she's only in grade 4 with French. And sometimes when I go to help her with her French homework, she makes fun of me. She condescends to me and my French accent and my knowledge, and she's 9. And it's a little bit irritating, if I can be honest with you, that she's looking down her nose at me because she's a French master at grade 4. Not so much a master, just she's just better than me. And sometimes that's what happens when we have a measure of understanding about God, or we learn some things, and really not even God, just anything. Sometimes we learn some things about something, and it could cause in us an arrogance or a cockiness or, you know, a better than attitude. And one of the things that, if you've done any measure of study or learning in any different area, maybe in school or some higher education, one of the things that's good to learn is there's always more to learn. And I'm hopeful that you've discovered that. That when you learn something, you also open up a window or like, wow, there's so much more to learn. And you know, if you go to university or high school and you study biology or mathematics or computers or acting or business or singing or design or sociology, all of those are broad strokes of topics. But they all have specifics and a myriad of expertise that you can have in those areas. There's just lots to learn. And there's lots to know about God. And I sat down and just came up with a list of just biblical areas that we can learn about. And I'm just removing the person of Jesus, because really the person of Jesus would be the biggest study within the Bible. But here is just some biblical topics that we can learn about. Are you ready? Prayer, healing, giving, serving, blessing, finances, the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the second coming, faith, confession, love, sanctification, praise, wisdom, salvation, eternity, kingdom of God, discipleship, inspiration, dreams, purpose, worship, redemption, creation, ministry, gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, repentance, the Trinity, sin, heaven, hell, regeneration, grace. Now there's just some of the topics in the Bible. Just some of them. And none of us are... I can't even imagine saying a percentage, but none of us are way down the road understanding all of those things. And all of those things have to do with our relationship with God, a revelation of God's character, or a revelation of who God is, or something that God wants to bless us with, or something that God wants to change in our lives. That all of those, that expanse of topics that I just read to you, I mean, we can look at it and think, well, I just don't know anything. But we can be thankful for what we do know, but then we also can appreciate the fact there's just so much more. And that's partly what I want to do in this series. I just want to sort of tap into your hunger or increase your hunger for God, that there is more, that you should not be satisfied, that you shouldn't think of yourself in the area of your spiritual walk as I'm better than, or because I know more than this person, or I know more than some student, or I know more than this, or I understand about that. But we always want to stay in that place where we can know and understand more, and understand, maybe look at our relationship with God as this never-ending, wonderful journey that I get to be on with God. That we would hold ourselves in this place where we could still make discoveries about ourselves as we read the scripture, as we allow the scripture to read us, as we allow God to have insights into our lives, that you can learn something about yourself as you learn about God. Has anyone done this at all sometimes? And sometimes it can be painful. You know, I just a little while ago, I was thinking about something and really understood something about myself, and it wasn't necessarily great. And it was kind of like, I thought, I wish I had learned this earlier about myself. I wish that I had understood this earlier. And sometimes those understandings about who we are and how we act and the things that we do and the things that come out of our mouths sometimes, or the attitudes that we have, when we learn those things, it can be painful, but then it's also good to learn them. It's also good to allow God to teach us those things, because we need to know those things. We need to understand those things about our lives, that we can still make discoveries about ourselves, that we can still make discoveries about God, right? The infinite God, the transcendent God, that we never want to think about our faith and how we understand God as the ultimate thing, And I don't need to learn anymore because I know this and I understand this. Because if we think that we have got God figured out, then we now have become God. Right? If I think that I know it all and I've got it all figured out, all my doctrines are perfect and all my understandings about the scripture and all my understandings about Jesus are perfect, then no, God is no longer God. I'm God because I've got it all figured out. That there's so much more for us to understand about God. So thankful for what we know and so thankful for what we've understood. But there is just so much more. There's more of God to understand and there's more of God to experience. So we don't want to think of our Christianity as, okay, here's what I understand about God, and here's the revelation that I have about God. And everybody just needs to get to the place where I'm at, because what I have is awesome, like my 9-year-old French genius. What I know is better than what they know, and so I'm just better. Because if you think that you're better than somebody else, then you just have, you put a lid on your learning. You've put a lid on what you can understand about God. But let's think for a second about God and who God is and how amazing God is. That our understanding as we live on this planet will never fathom him. We will never grasp all of who he is. I was listening to some philosophers talk about God. And also some math professors in university who are believers. And as they started to look at DNA, and as they started to look at life and earth, and they started to look at all the fine-tuning that goes on in the earth for life to be able to exist, they're mathematicians to the highest degree, but they look at God and they say, God is an amazing mathematician. Whoever created this, they are just amazing at all of these things that need to go on for life to exist. And if that doesn't float your boat, that God is also an amazing artist, for those of you who look at life differently, that all the things that he's created and all the beauty and wonder that he's created in humanity and within the animal kingdom and within the colors that exist in nature, he is an amazing artist, and we will never fully understand him. And that's good to know. That we can always be moving forward, that we never want to think as our experience with God and our experience with Christianity is, okay, I've got it all figured out now. I know something. That innate with our relationship with God would be that I don't know it all. And that God wants to light my way from where I am today. That I'm so thankful for what I've known. And I'm so appreciative of what I know about God and Jesus and the things that I've seen in the Word about some of those subjects that I read to you. But there is so much more. God is so much more and so much bigger. But it's so incumbent on our attitude whether or not we are going to go forward or not. And once again, all within the context of a church family, all within the context of we're not all at the same place. We all have different starting places, and we all have different backgrounds. I got to sit in on one of the alpha discussions, and I just love it. I just love where people are at in their faith walk. It's so special. It's so unique to them. It's so unique to their background and their family and their church experience and what they understand about God. I just love it. I just appreciate where people are. And I'm hoping that you do the same. I'm hopeful that that is your attitude about your relationship with God, is because as much as I appreciate people who are humble and wanting to grow, one of my pet peeves growing up in church and in, you know, a pastor's home is spiritual know-it-alls. It really irritates me. It really bothers me in so many different ways. That apparently they've got it all figured out, and we just have to get with them, and if we just get with them and understand what they understand, I just don't want to understand what somebody understands, because they're not God, right? And so all of us can be thankful, but then all of us also can be humble in what we know and understand, because that place of humility helps us to go forward, helps us to, when we turn 70, to say, you know what? I've got a lot more to learn. That there's so much more about God, the infinite, transcendent God who came down to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. There's so much more that I can understand about who he is and what he wants me to accomplish. And the last thing, as we understand about God, that we'll make discoveries about life. Life discoveries come from God discoveries. that we figure out how to learn this, to live this life better. We took one element of that last week, the one element of parenting. And if you are a parent, you realize that parenting is a skill. We didn't get a license before we had these kids. They didn't make us take a test. We just had a little bit of fun, and there was a baby all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? I was like, how did this happen? I don't know what to do. And so this, we have these, and that's just one area that when we discover about God, when we discover about God as a parent and as a father, that helps us to be a parent. And that's what makes life worth living, that there is more. We have not arrived. We aren't the be-all, end-all on the faith journey, that God is infinite and amazing and brilliant and awesome and in every way, and we can still learn more about him. And then he teaches us about this life that he's given to us. He is the giver of life. Think about that. Jesus came that we would have what? Life, and we would have it more abundantly. So when we discover about God, we discover about life and how to live this life that he has given to us. There's more, church. There's more. There's more for you. Don't get satisfied. Don't think, well, I'm this and I know this and some people don't and I know this and some people don't. Be glad for what you know. But don't make it shift your attitude to I just know better than everybody else and everybody knows what I should know what I know because I'm just great because I know this. No, let's stay humble. Let's stay with this attitude that there is more. There is more about God. There is more about life to understand. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. Now, I wasn't trying to do that thirst illustration, but I was thirsty. That you're blessed when you stay hungry. Staying hungry for God. So important. Because if you've eaten and you're satisfied, and the thing that you know, and the thing that you know the most is now become for you the totality of your Christian experience. Here's what I know, and here's what I understand. And then you just wait for a preacher to feed you that exact same thing. And you listen to the exact same message, and you just need to hear that one singular thing about God, and then that's the totality of your Christian experience. No, you gotta stay hungry for God. He is infinite. And when we stay hungry for God, the Bible says we shall be filled, and we stay open for more. God, I need to understand more about you. I need to understand more about myself, even though that's painful sometimes. I want to know about myself. And God, I want to understand about life. I'm hungry for more. I'm not satisfied. Because if you're satisfied, if you're full, if you know it all, you just won't be hungry. And you'll just figure that, you know, you're just so far down the road and everybody else is somehow behind you. And, you know, there's not enough preachers who have revelation to get to where you are and preach the thing that you want. We have to stay hungry for God. We have to stay humble as we sit at his feet. Because one of the things that we understand about God, that he is a loving heavenly father. And he's interested in your life. And we want him more than anyone else to light our way. To help us to know what is the next step for me. In every aspect of our lives, in my faith journey, all the things that I have to do and accomplish and become, all those different things, I want God to light my way. Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 29 tells us something interesting about ourselves. Luke chapter 9, verse 29, it says, he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. And his clothing became dazzling white. This is what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And behold, two men were there talking with him, talking about Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So this is an amazing thing that's happening. Jesus is praying, and then Moses and Elijah show up. Now, there's some belief about this, that this actually took place in heaven, that Moses and Elijah didn't come down to heaven so that they could be seen, that all of them were taken up into heaven so they could see this. But then Peter was there to see this amazing thing that was happening, that he saw Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah. And how amazing would this experience be? And so what is Peter's reaction? And now Peter, those who were with him, were heavy with sleep. But they came fully awake and saw his glory, and the two men stood with him. As they were parting from him, Peter said, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, Moses, and Elijah," not knowing what he said. So Peter, what? Peter saw something. This thing was amazing. And then what did Peter want to do? Let's build tents. This is amazing. We want to get in these tents, and we will have a tent for each of you, and then we're just going to stay right here. We want to camp out in this moment. And this is our tendency about any of those things that I listed to you from the scripture, things that we learn about those things. We learn something, and we're like, that is amazing. And then you tell it to someone else, and they're like, eh. You ever had one of those? You ever had like an epiphany about God? You had this tremendous revelation, and you told somebody, and they're like, so. Come on, anyone ever had one of those? Why is that? Are they just hard of hearing? They cannot hear the Spirit speak to them. No, you are at a different place on your journey. That's the thing that you needed to hear in that moment. For them, they needed something else. Now, they can appreciate it and say, wow, fantastic. And that's the great thing, once again, about realizing that all of us are going to have those different things. I mean, I've sometimes after a Sunday morning, I'll come down and talk to people, and they'll tell me different things that they got of the message, and I'm like amazed. Some of the stuff I didn't even intend, and I'm like, fantastic, that's awesome. What is that? That's God dealing with people at those different places on their journey. It's a wonderful thing. So instead of being mad why someone's not excited about your revelation and you just want to camp out there and get a tent and build it and stay right there, and everybody needs to be in my tent because this is what I'm understanding right now. This is our tendency to build a tent and stay. But there is more. There's more to know, and there's more to understand, and there's more to experience. And there was a guy named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus one time, and he was somebody that knew there was more. Let's turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Now, Nicodemus was one of the rulers, one of the leading religious rulers. He was on the religious council. That they would have had, he would have had to have extensive studies, scripture memorization, very respected in the religious community, knows a lot about the Bible of its time, of his time. And so he is observing Jesus' ministry. And there was part of the ruling council who liked Jesus, and the vast majority of them didn't. As you, if you've read through any of the Gospels, you see that these people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were always at odds with what Jesus was doing. But there was a portion of the council who were at least curious, wanted to understand. And so here's a guy who is a religious leader, as a pastor, or he's a, you know, preacher, whatever, how you would think of it today. And he's coming to Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." That's why this is important. It helps us to understand. "This man came to Jesus by night." Why did he come at night? Could have been a lot of different reasons. He didn't want his friends to know he was there. Other people didn't like Jesus. Maybe their crowds were too big during the day, so he came to Jesus at night because he wanted to have a discussion with him. There was something in Nicodemus, even though he was a ruler and he understood and he was well-studied, educated man, him looking at Jesus realized there was more. And we should learn from Nicodemus. We should never think about ourselves, this is the thing, and I've got it all figured out, and I know. Nicodemus came that night. He said, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. So he's telling Jesus, okay, we're not sure about your teachings. We're not sure about what you're saying all of the time. But at least the miracles are telling us something. The things that you're doing, Jesus, they're like, okay, we got some questions here. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So here is Nicodemus, who's educated, a religious ruler, and he's coming to Jesus because he wants to know, he wants to understand that there's more. Jesus is doing something. We're not familiar with it. We don't understand it. And Jesus says to him this phrase, you must be born again, born anew, or born from above. In other words, you need to have understanding from God. And this is what we can't do with our understanding. We understand something, we can be thankful for it and appreciate it, but then we can't stop with just what I understand now. There has to be more. And this is what Nicodemus was curious about, and this is what he wanted to know. And Jesus gave this explanation about being born and sort of like, okay, start again. Now, this born again has a lot of different meanings. Obviously, we use the term born again, starting again, fresh with God, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But I believe it has also other meanings. To this religious ruler, he's saying to him, you got to start again with your understanding. You understand something and you know something. I want you to start again. And then he gives the illustration about wind. Now, you can't see wind, but you can see the effects of wind. And this is what he says our relationship with God is like. That the Spirit of God moves into our lives, that he blows in our lives. When something happens, when God moves into our lives, something changes. There is an effect when God moves in our lives, in our hearts. And this is what he's saying to Nicodemus. He's trying to get Nicodemus to understand that. Okay, Nicodemus, you're a religious ruler. You understand some things. But you need to start again. You need to allow the wind of God. And we see from the scriptures, the Spirit of God. The analogy is given as wind. But the Holy Spirit is not wind. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. But an illustration that helps us to understand who the Spirit of God is wind. So when we're outside and the wind is blowing, we can feel it on our face and we can see the trees moving. And sometimes that's the way our spiritual journey is. It's like, I don't know how I got here, but I know God did something in me. And all of a sudden I understood something. All of a sudden I figured something out. And all of a sudden, like I said to you, that revelation, let's call it, an understanding about myself a couple weeks ago, which was, I felt late and maybe because I'm stubborn or hard-headed or whatever the case may be, I can't even explain how all of a sudden I understood this, but I did. And this is sort of the mystery of our relationship with God. But we got to be open. Nicodemus is such a great example to us. Understood, educated, smart, a leader. But he also knew that there was more. There's more. Everybody say, there's more. Because God has more for you. Now, this doesn't just have limits within your relationship with God. These principles are true about every aspect of our lives. In your profession, you have to know that there's people better than you in your profession, right? Come on now. Isn't there people better than you, further along, who understand more? What if you think you've got it all figured out? What if you know it all? Then you've put a lid on your learning. You've put a lid on your advancement. Within your career, if you just think, well, I can't learn anymore because I'm this age, or I don't want to read a book, or I don't want to take a course, or whatever the case may be, you've put a lid on your learning. But there is more. Even though my little 9-year-old French genius thinks she knows it all and can make fun of her dad. There's more for her. There's more for all of us. And the wondrous thing about this journey of faith, that there is always more. We should never get bored with God. If we're bored with God, we're not hungry. If we're bored with worship, or we're bored with certain scriptures, or we're bored with this, or we're bored with that, there's more. There's more to be had from God. Take off the lid of your understanding. And realize that God, that He has more for you to understand. He's got more for you in every respect. Psalm 23, verse 5, the B part says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." That's the way we need to think about our relationship with God. And what does God want to do? He wants to pour something out. So another illustration of the Holy Spirit that we've seen as liquid or oil in the scriptures. We see wind and we see oil. So God wants to blow through our lives, and He wants to pour something out on our lives. And this, what He wants to pour out actually is an overflow. It overflows. There's more than I need. And that would make sense, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that make sense in the context of a family? Because if you are overflowing, if you have a heart full and overflowing of love, you will love your brothers and sisters. But if your heart is stagnant and you barely have enough love for yourself, you're not going to share love at church. You're not going to share love with your brothers and sisters. It's because you don't have an overflow. Well, I just have me, and what I think is so important, what I need is very important, what I. But God wants us to live in this place of there's more. He wants to pour out understanding on us. He wants us to understand about life and about God and about ourselves. This is exciting news for us today, that it doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be stagnant. There's more. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So we have to move from the place of satisfaction, and I know, and I'm really smart, and I've got it all figured out, and everybody just needs to listen to me, to He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to someone and says, you know what? There's more to learn. There's more to understand. There's more that God wants me to understand about life. There's more that He wants to give to me. But humility is going to play a huge role for us if we're able to move forward, or if we're just going to be stagnant and angry and mad and frustrated that everybody doesn't sit in our tent. Because our tent is where it's all happening. And what I've got figured out, that's the thing. And what I understand about God is what everybody else needs to understand about God. And I'm going to sit in my little tent, and I'm going to invite people into my tent, and I'm going to argue that everybody outside of the tent is an idiot and doesn't know enough and is not smart enough. No, God gives grace to the humble, that we're thankful for what we know, and we appreciate for what we know, and we're so thankful for where we are on our journey. But God wants to pour out more. He wants to give more grace. He wants to give more understanding to you. He wants you to understand more about life and Himself and about you. He wants to give you more. Psalm 25, verse 9, "He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way." Don't we want that? Not just excited about what we think. Well, here's what I think, and here's what I understand. Well, that's great. Praise God for that. But He wants to give us more. Listen to this verse. "In his pride, the wicked does not seek Him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." His pride, the wicked does not seek Him. In other words, if I have got it all figured out professionally, relationally, in my relationship with God, if I've got it all figured out, and I'm sitting in my little tent, that I'm not actually seeking after God. I'm not actually hungry for God. I'm actually hungry just to listen to myself. Because I know this, and I know this, and I understand this. But we don't want to be full of pride, because God gives grace to the humble, and he actually resists the proud. We want to be in that open place. God, I am open to you, that you want to pour out something on me. You want to pour out understanding from me. You want to give me wisdom. I want to receive it. You are infinite. I am finite. You are big. I want to know more of you. Psalm 36, verse 9. Actually, no. Proverbs 11, verse 2. And Mike, you can come on up wherever you are. We're getting ready to finish. Proverbs 11, verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So which is better? Which is better? Humility is better. And don't be proud that you're so humble now. I'm proud of my humility. We can't get stuck. Are you with me today? He wants to light your way. Where you are on your journey is okay. It's great. We celebrate with you where you are and what you know and what you understand. But we also want to tell you, and we all also want to be hungry for more. The expanse of who God is, and the expanse of who God wants to be to you. Like the wind blows, and we're like, I don't know where that came from, but man, it really affected me. And that's what God will do. He will just come in and he will change you. This whole Christian walk is actually about transformation. It isn't about stagnation. It isn't about, I know it all now. It is actually about moving forward, being transformed. God pouring out upon us. God's wind blowing through us. Psalm 36, verse 9. Says, for with you is the fountain of life. Now, that doesn't say the fountain of youth. Sorry to people. But it says the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. That God gives us life. He's a fountain of life. So when we seek after him and we are hungry after him, we don't on the other side become more angry and frustrated and mean and religious. That the fountain of life that God gives is full of mercy and peace and love and goodness and grace, all of who God is. And there is more for us. There is more for us to experience. There's more for us to understand. There's more for us to move forward in our lives. Because God wants to light our way. In his light, we can see. And that's who we want to be hungry after. That God gives us light. He gives us understanding for our lives. Are you hungry for that today? Let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so...
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to send in your prayer requests or stories about what God is doing in your life to info@harvestfamilychurch.ca.